just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Ask Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Hey, your question can be just about any area of law. It can be about wills, trusts, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills, personal injury, family law. You have a legal problem? I've hosted Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law for 34 years and running here. And probably have heard your question multiple times, and either myself or guests I've had on the show to answer legal questions can help you. So if I don't know the answer, I tell you I don't know, but I can find out for you real quick. So if your question could help lots of other people that are listening, you have a toll-free number. Again, I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. You're listening to a live show on Saturday morning, March the 9th at 8:03 in the morning. Phone lines are open. We'd love for you to be our first caller here to get the show started. The format of the show is not just me talking for 52 minutes. It's me trying to help as many people as I can answer legal questions. So again, the toll-free number is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Hey, are you one of those that one of those folks that try to do your own will? Have you gone online and heard of about some website or some friend or something told you that you can do your own will? Well, you might be able to, but I review these wills. I reviewed self-made wills, people who try to do it online wills, and they come in a lot of times and ask me, "Here's what do you think of this?" And usually I would say I would find some questions to ask them they hadn't even thought about. A lot of documents I see don't have contingencies. What if this person can't service the personal representative? Suppose this person dies, what happens to their estate? So you have these questions, and then they look at you like, well, I never thought of that. So my advice is you might save a few dollars. Although if you save a few dollars, it could cost your estate a lot because of some mistakes you make concerning the estate plan. And then you don't usually have the benefit of a discussion about all the different options that you have. You get in your head that you're looking to do an online document of some type, and then you look just about that document, and you don't have a discussion about all the other things that are available. Hey, if you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Let's go to our first caller, Brian in Bradenton.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Brian.
Can you hear me?
Yes. What can we do for you?
Hello.
I hear you. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm sorry, Joe. It's very faint.
All right. So I'm not sure what Brian, maybe he can call back and get a better connection. Let's go to Al in Jacksonville.
Yes. The Michigan attorney steals the money, and Michigan doesn't pay the money to me. He's a convict.
Who's this now?
A Michigan attorney, a convict who went to jail for 2 years or more. He stole the money, and Michigan won't pay the money under their program, under their contract.
The state of Michigan has like an attorney fund?
Yeah, client protection.
And that's the Michigan Bar Association?
Yes.
And you apply through the Michigan Bar Association for money that an attorney stole from you, and you weren't successful?
Right.
Did you have a Michigan attorney trying to help you with that?
No, I didn't.
Well, that would be your next step. You know, I think the general advice is if you've done everything you can unsuccessfully and don't have a good result, then you need some help to try to make it happen. So if I were you, I would get a Michigan attorney involved and see what your options are. You might be able to file a lawsuit against the man, and if the man has, I'm assuming it was a man, could have been a woman, I'm just going to say attorney. You could file a lawsuit against the attorney that's in jail. If the attorney in jail had an estate, there might be a way you can go against the money. It might be a different approach you can use with the Michigan Bar Association to get the money.
How do you get Michigan to do the U.S. law?
What now?
How do you get Michigan to do the U.S. law? Bigger protection. Well, 1791-567.
Yeah, so... you know, I'm not familiar with the Michigan Bar Association and Michigan laws and actions. I think if you've done everything you can yourself, you need some help from an attorney there in Michigan.
Okay, good work. Thanks.
All right, thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. If you have a legal question, you can call our toll-free number, 877-943-9673. I'm a Florida attorney, and I can tell you that the state of Florida, the Florida Bar Association, has a program for people who have been done wrong by attorneys. And there is a method to, just like probably Michigan, there is a way to go to the Bar Association and get compensated for an attorney that did you wrong. And you know there's bad apples in every profession. Hopefully there are a very small percentage of bad apples in the different professions, and attorneys, you know, all attorneys aren't perfect, so some attorneys make mistakes and it costs clients money. Some attorneys have addictions and all the other things that, you know, people have. And so the most bar associations set up some funds to compensate people who have been, you know, wrongly treated by an attorney. Let's go to Brian in Bradenton.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Brian.
Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Okay. My mother-in-law passed away about a year and a half ago, so there's three siblings, my wife and her brother and sister. And anyways, there's an inheritance, three properties, actually. There's no money, but three properties. It's probably worth about $1 million. So they're selling those off. The brother is the executor of the will. I just wanted to confirm, when you inherit that and they sell the property, you don't have to pay tax, correct, like income tax?
Well, the property, the real estate gets a stepped-up cost basis at time of death. So if the deceased mother-in-law paid, you know, $500,000 for the property and is worth $1 million, that gets a stepped-up cost basis, and that can be sold for $1 million with no income tax, no capital gains tax. If there was some appreciation from the time of death to the time of sale, there could be a capital gains tax on that. If it sold pretty quickly after death, then probably not.
Well, it's been about a year and a half, so it probably wasn't much appreciation, if any. I don't think properties move that much. So anyway, so if they're selling one right now, they're closing on one for $545,000, so they're each going to get like $165,000, but I think it was $40,000 due. So they're not going to have to pay tax on that $165,000 that they each get.
Yeah, let's say no. There's no capital gains tax, so there'd be no tax.
Okay, and then one other thing. The buyer that's buying this property sent... it's in a trust, the whole deal, and there's an executor of the trust, the brother is. But they sent him a 1099. Is that common? He's a little worried about that because he doesn't want a $500,000 sale on his tax. It's actually a part of the trust, and I don't know why they would send a 1099.
Well, I think real estate title companies do send out 1099s on the sale of real estate, and it's up to the person about – it's made out to him personally or him made out to the estate?
I'm not sure. Probably him personally, but he didn't sign it yet or do the final closing because he's going to ask a real estate attorney about it.
Yeah. No, it shouldn't be made out to him individually.
Okay.
Because it should be, if they have to issue one, it'd be made out to the estate. And then the CPA doing the tax return for the estate could just, you know, explain that it was at a stepped up cost basis and there's really no tax due.
And then one last thing, that the executor of the trust, which is my wife's brother, you know, she has different plans than my wife or the other sibling. Is there any way he can force, you know, he's in charge, I guess, but she wants out of everything. He wanted to rent one of the properties. I mean, I don't know if there's anything that she can do about it or if she just has to do what he says.
No, yeah, I think you could force the sale of the property.
Yeah, yeah.
He wouldn't have the option just to rent it, I don't think. I mean, he can drag his feet a little bit, but you can force the sale of the property and not and object to anything.
How would you do that if that was the case?
Well, you get a probate attorney to just file an objection with the probate court or write them a letter saying, look, we don't agree to you trying to rent the property. The will says 3 equal shares. You have a reasonable time to give me my share, and you can't give me my share if you're going to rent the property. So you might have to go to a judge to just get an order to sell the property. But whoever objects just gets their own attorney to send a letter to the attorney that's representing the personal representative to force the sale along a little bit.
Right. All right. I appreciate your help, Joe.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. If you have a legal question, you can call our toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Be more than glad to try to help you in any way I possibly can. Your question can be about any area of Florida law. If I know, you'll get a pretty quick response. If I don't know, we'll maybe give you a direction to go, and I can also help find out the answer from one of the many attorneys we've had on the show before. So, you know, a lot of people just don't understand estate planning. Now, this sounded like a probate estate, and it sounded like $1 million worth of real estate. So, the thing I think about in that, why didn't that person have like a living trust? Why didn't they put their 3 pieces of real estate in a living trust? And then you wouldn't have personal representative fees. So that one sibling is going to make $30,000 perhaps. A reasonable fee by statutes is 3%. So you got $1 million worth of real estate, you got a $30,000 possible probate fee. And the attorney has a similar fee. So you got like $60,000 off the top of $1 million worth of real estate could have easily been avoided with a living trust. The fees for the trust administration are substantially less, substantially being the key word there. Wouldn't be anywhere near $30,000. And you can certainly do a better job with your estate planning with a living trust as opposed to just a simple will. Why do wills have to go through probate? The will says I appoint so-and-so as the personal representative and I direct that everything be divided in 3 equal shares. So why does the will have to go through probate? Because the will, you still die with an asset in a deceased person's name. Assets in a deceased person's name go through probate, even if you have a will. And the way a trust works is the trust is living when you die. That's why they call it a living trust. And assets inside a living trust do not go through probate because they're not simply in a deceased person's name. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Hey, you're listening on multiple stations all over Florida. We're on 12 stations throughout Florida. We're in Pinellas County, Hillsborough County. We have offices in. If you are listening on a radio in a local area, we have an office in that area. So we have several offices in Pinellas, Hillsborough, Polk, Duval, St. Johns County up in the Jacksonville area. We have offices in Trinity, Pasco, Claremont, Leesburg, the Villages, several offices in Pinellas, like I said, several in Polk. Several in Hillsborough, and we have radio station there. Flagship station is in Tampa. That's through Salem Communications. That's 570-910, 860-930, all on the AM dial. Some of those have an FM affiliate associated along with that. We have a Sun City Community Station, 96.3. on your FM dial. We have stations up in the Crystal River area. We have stations that carry the program Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law continually run since we have Dan. Okay, we got two Dans in a row. And then, Dan, are you there?
Good morning.
Hey, Dan.
Hi, Joe. I have two questions for you. The first one is, I just heard you talk about living trusts. In the past, I've heard you talk about revocable.
It's the same thing.
Oh, okay. Well, the next question is, what should you and what should you not put in a living trust?
Well, the common things that go in a living trust or real estate, financial accounts that are not qualified, like retirement accounts. So retirement accounts have named beneficiaries generally that avoid probate, and that's just the way the nature of that account would be to have a beneficiary. If you didn't want to give an outright distribution, then you can have the trust be a beneficiary, but they require special tax language and so forth to have an adverse tax effect. So mainly what goes in a living, what it's easier to say what doesn't go in a trust. So what doesn't go in a trust are retirement accounts, automobiles, insurance, annuity products, unless you want to stretch out the distribution. So real estate goes in, checking, savings, money market, brokerage accounts, all those type of things would go in, would be good items to go inside a trust.
So like if you had stock, that would go in there?
Yes.
Okay. But if you had like a 403B, that would not go in there?
Not unless you want to control the distribution to where the person only got a monthly amount instead of an outright choice of cashing it out and taking the whole distribution. Because people on retirement accounts usually have three options. They could cash it out, pay all the taxes, which usually would be a mistake. They can stretch it for 5 years, or they can stretch it, take it as an inherited IRA or retirement account, and convert it and take it later. So if you want to stop the option, you're concerned if you make somebody a beneficiary and they're just going to cash it out and pay all the taxes all at once, you can control it to have the trust be your beneficiary.
I see. All right. You wouldn't have time to talk about how to prevent overtaxation on a RMD, would you? I mean, what can you do with it if you take, say you take the whole amount? Is there any place you can put it so you don't get crazily taxed? Or
well, you can roll it over.
But you'll get taxed when you roll it, when you take it out, though, right?
Not if you, well, okay, so someone died and left you a retirement account?
Yes.
You should be able to roll that out into another, your own retirement account and not pay the taxes on all at once. If you cash it out, you're going to pay all the taxes all at once. If you roll it over or take it as an inherited IRA, there's a way to stretch out the tax and the payments.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate your time, Joe.
All right.
Your expertise.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Let's go to Kathleen in Citrus County.
Hi, I am curious as to how I can expunge my record. I'm 61.
All right, did you have one offense during your lifetime?
No, I had several.
You had several before the one you're asking about?
Well, actually, I'd like to know if I can expunge it all.
Probably not.
Probably not. And how does the expunging work then?
Well, there are rules. I'm not a criminal law attorney, but basically, if you've had a string of criminal offenses, you can't expunge them all. If you had your record was clean except for one, and it didn't deal with drugs or some sexual offense, you could probably get it expunged. But if you have a series of them, I think it's very difficult,
okay.
if not impossible.
What about if it was before the age of 18? Does that matter?
Was it a felony?
Yes.
If you want to email me, I'll give you the name of a... if you email me and say, please forward to this to a criminal law attorney who can explain expungement to me and look at my record. All this was in Florida?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll send it to an attorney who's been on my show that knows all about expungements.
Okay, all right.
And my email address is Joe, J-O-E.
J-O-E.
At A-T-T-Y.
At
A-T-T-Y. Okay. Y-P-I-P dot com.
All right, so it's Joe, J-O-E, at, and then I missed all the letters.
A-T-T-Y-P-I-P dot com. Just keep okay. listening to the show. Okay. I'll give it out several times during the show.
Okay, thank you all very right. much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Let's go to Adrian in Bradenton.
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Nice to talk to you today.
Well, nice talking to you, sir.
About 20 years ago, I worked for an internet consulting company, and they formed an LLC to do like profit sharing and investment. And for the past 10, and it was worth on my end. And they formed it. Yeah, I was a limited partner to this thing. And it grew to about $1,600-$1,700, but for 10 years it was idle. Then last year they just issued a final K-1, wrote everything off as a loss, and that's all I know. Do I have any rights in this situation about that funding, or is it just, you know, never really had it and now it's gone?
You have a right to a full accounting. Do you feel like you've gotten a full accounting?
They just sent me a K-1 that said final, and your $1,700 is now gone. You know, I wrote it off on my taxes. That's about all I did.
Well, you could write a certified letter demanding the full accounting of how they arrived at the calculations. Did they file bankruptcy or anything?
I really don't know. I wrote to them several times trying to cash out what little money I had, and, you know, they just ignored those letters. I don't think you can cash out an LLC, but I tried.
Well, was the money that was cashed out in the retirement account, or was just your equity built up in this LLC?
It was just built up in this LLC that he was going to do all this investing and make a lot of money, and it just really went idle. It was the owner of the company I had worked for.
Well, you know, there might be a crime here. I mean, you could have report this to the state attorney for investigation, see if they'll do it. You can write a certified letter demanding the full accounting. You can write a letter asking to come in and inspect the books. I think at this point it matters whether you want to spend a lot of time chasing, you know, $1,700.
Well, when you take the tax loss, it's down to 12 or, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I didn't know if there was.
Economic, you know, part of this question is, do you really want to pursue this guy? And even if you could pursue him and he's totally broke and has gone bankrupt himself or something, and he's not going to have any money to pay you, he might have done wrong, which you'd have to investigate and kind of prove that, and the state attorney might be interested in that. It just depends on how much involved you want to get with your pursuit of this.
I think I'll take your advice and send the certified letter requesting the full accounting.
There you go.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. I can give you some practical advice, too. Hey, I'd be glad to do that. And if you just have a problem, maybe not a legal problem, something that's bothering you, something that you need somebody to talk to, I'd be glad to do that, too. All you have to do is to call our toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, and we'd be more than glad to try to talk to you and help you solve whatever problem you're in. Maybe you lost a little bit of sleep last night. Maybe you're still worried about something, and something that's just not right. Somebody's not even treating you right. You want to call and talk to me? I'll be glad to tell you what I think. 877-943-9673. I had an interesting question yesterday about a person buying a condo on the beach, and they wanted to, the contract included a cabana and storage unit, that my client was that called me was worried about whether or not there was a separate deed to the cabana storage unit or whether it was just part of the overall property. So we looked on the county records. We found out that there were no deeds. We knew the seller's name. So we looked on the county records and found out that all of the units in this particular building did not have but one deed. So the cabana didn't have a separate deed. So the seller was trying to say that this cabana, he had another offer that he could sell independently for $100,000 just for the cabana. And my seller, my buyer was worried about that since they couldn't give him an extra deed, how would he take ownership of it? But anyway, we got all that worked out. And that certainly was something for him to consider and be concerned about and something that had a fairly simple answer in the end. Again, if you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number. You can call it at 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And let's go to Joe in Jacksonville.
Hello, Mr. Pippin.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, my name is Joe Merrick, and I spoke with you probably about 2 months ago, my brother and I, about a small estate we were trying to settle.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you recall or not.
I do.
And we was just wanting to meet up with you again and set a time or... and.
All right, well, let me give you my cell number. You might have it, though. Let me give you...
I think I do. I've tried to... I don't know if the email was correct. I've had my wife emailing, but I don't know if it was the correct one.
Well, I'll give you my cell number. You can call me after the show today, and we can set a time to meet.
Okay, I'm going to get back to my writing tab. Just give me about 30 seconds. We're still trying to move forward with this.
Yeah, I think we're waiting for one or two pieces of information. I don't have that file with me this weekend, but...
I picked up a couple of more things, so I'm hoping it's going to be enough. Let me... I'm right here. That sale number?
727-667-3967.
Oops.
Yeah, I think we met at the radio station, if I remember correctly. You met me right after the show? Well, you could do that the next time I'm here in 2 weeks, if you like.
Okay, and that was
727-667-3967.
727-667. Okay. So we can set that up. Maybe I'll call you.
Yeah, right after the radio show in 2 weeks would be great.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks,
sir. All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Let's go to Gene in Tampa.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Yes, I have a question. I had an attorney. Before I ask you the question, I'll give you a little idea of what I'm referring to. I had an attorney working on a case for me when I got in my accident about 20-something years ago. And they gave me just a small portion of the money. My question to you is, over 20 years, is the statute of limit? I don't know. Checking that, I don't think it's 21 years yet. But my accident was over 21 years. Is the statute of limitation expired already?
Well, so the attorney, you hired an attorney to take a case, and you don't think the attorney gave you all of the money that came in from the case?
No, he didn't give me all of the money, just give me a small percentage of the money. So I'm wondering if...
Well, have you contacted the attorney lately to ask him, give you an accounting of the money?
No, I did. I spoke with him at the time when he was doing so, and he told me that that's what I signed on to. And he took a lot of the money. And then he turned around and asked me to still pay for...
So you haven't talked to him for 21 years?
I haven't spoken to him for, I think he's less than 21. So I am wondering, is the statute of limitation is expired there?
Well, it depends on whether there was fraud or anything. But, you know, why can't you just call the attorney or stop by the attorney's office and get an accounting of the case?
Well,
yeah, Gene, you got to cut your radio off in the back, and I don't have much more time I can spend with you here. So, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Why can't you call the attorney and stop by the attorney's office and pick up your file and have an explanation of the accounting of your case?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
All right,
let's go to one of our attorneys in the firm. Attorney John Frazier is on the line. Good morning, John.
Hey, Joe, how you doing this morning?
Good. John is our Medicaid elder VA attorney, so have him come on once in a while and talk a little bit about Medicaid for a few minutes. So, John, I think one of the most common things that people think out there when they have a family member that goes into a nursing home is they have to spend down their assets before they can qualify for Medicaid. So why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, that's a huge misconception. I think many people hear many different stories before they contact our office, typically from non-attorneys. Here in Florida, we have some very generous asset protection laws. We've certainly had cases where we're dealing with hundreds of thousands of dollars. We've had a couple cases over $2 million, probably 20 cases over $1 million. So that shows you the power of these asset protection laws that we have here in Florida. The average cost of nursing home care right now in Florida is right at $9,100 per month. So you're looking at spending over $100,000 a year. So even if you had $1 million in savings, you know, you would burn through that money, you know, within 10 years. So in today's world, you know, $1 million, and if you're talking about paying $9,100 a month, is not going to last indefinitely. So it's very important to know what those asset protection rules are here in Florida.
Yeah, you know, I'm broadcasting from Jacksonville today, and I remember a case we had here in Jacksonville where a mother was in a nursing home with no real estate, and she had about $700,000 in cash, and her son had about a $700,000 mortgage on his home. So we basically sold the house to the mother, took the cash. She now had a homestead, which was exempt. Put that in a living trust, and several years later, she died. The home went back to the son, free and clear.
Yeah, that's another great thing about Florida law. We have the homestead protection here. So as long as the property is inherited by the natural heirs, when the Medicaid recipient passes away, then the state of Florida does not have a claim on that homestead. So, and that is not the case in every state. So we just have some really fantastic laws here in the state of Florida.
John, tell us about what's going on with VA planning and irrevocable trust. There have been some changes in that.
Yeah, back on in October 18th of last year, just a few months back, there was a very significant change. The rule with the VA was pending for quite some time, more than 2 years, finally went into effect October 18th of last year. Prior to that, we were able to set up a special type of trust and immediately obtain VA benefits. The VA has decided, among other changes with this new rule, to impose what is called a three-year look-back. And what that means now is if you give assets away after October 18th of last year, then that's going to create a potential penalty period of 3 years. Medicaid now has a five-year look-back. For many years, Medicaid also had a three-year look-back. So what we're seeing are governmental trends to try to make it more difficult for people to obtain government benefits like Medicaid and VA benefits.
All right, John, give us your if any listeners out there would like to talk to you directly, give us your all of your contact information so they can reach you.
The office number is 727-586-3306, extension 104. And feel free to call me anytime on my cell phone at 813-431-3193. And my email address is john at pip.com.
All right, and I'll give that out again to the listeners during the show, and I really appreciate you calling, John.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Cindy in Tampa. Cindy in Tampa, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, what can we do for you?
I have a friend of mine who works for a major airline, and she was falsely accused by a passenger recently of calling her a name, and then which she didn't do because there was a crowd, and the supervisors are all working against her, and they had the police write her a citation in the airport, the agent write a citation for profanity, and there was no profanity, and she's being falsely accused, and it's becoming a hostile work environment.
Well, if you want to, I have a labor law attorney I could refer you to in Tampa, if you want to email me.
Okay.
So my email address is Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com.
Got it. Okay. All right. I'll do that. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney all about Florida law. We have maybe 15 minutes or so left in the show. If you want to call today, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Susan in Tampa.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, good. I have a question. My mother is 83 years old, and her health isn't very good. And she has a little home. It's a modest home. I mean, it's not worth more than $70,000. And she's determined to leave this house to my brother and I.
Mm-hmm.
But we have talked to her, you know, just go ahead and sell it, you know, and just move in with us. But she won't do it. She just won't do it. So, and I know she has limited funds and everything, so I'm trying to figure out. I know I hear all about the putting it in a family trust, but mm-hmm. I'm concerned how expensive that is. And I had an idea of just going down to the county and pulling out a quick deed and just having my brother's name and my name put on it. Would that be good enough? She has a will, but the will says everything reverts to, you know, to us. But like I heard you say, you will still have to go to probate.
Yeah, the problem with doing a quitclaim deed, I don't know if you were listening to the Medicaid attorney conversation there, but the homestead's exempt. And if she put your name on there, that would be a gift. And since that would be a gift, that would be create a look-back period of up to 5 years of disqualification if she had to leave that home and go into a nursing home.
Right.
The cost basis issue is there, too, because if you put names on it now, then that freezes the cost basis as to what she paid for it, and then if you sell it, if she deeded it to you and your brother, then it would have mm-hmm. her cost basis. So if she paid, you know, $30,000 for it, then you'd have a capital mm-hmm. gains from 30 to 75, and you'd be stuck mm-hmm. with that when you sold it. So you have a possible gift, look back, cost basis, all of those are issues. If she had a living trust, she could easily put the house in a trust and avoid all of those things upon death that go to you and your brother. With a stepped-up cost basis, no probate. So that might be the way to do it.
Well, how expensive is a living trust?
We have flat fees. So a trust package, which includes the trust, the deed, the pour-over will, it's called, power of attorney, health care, surrogate living will, is $695. So it's
$695?
That's it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we need to do that.
Yeah, a lot of people think trusts are very expensive, and in some places they are very, very expensive. We had flat fees, and we publish those on our website, and that's our fee.
Okay. All right. So.
And we have an office in Tampa.
You have an office in Tampa?
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm in the car right now, so I can't write all that stuff down. When you get off, would you I guess I'll hear it on your radio station, like your phone number and everything to call to make it with you?
Absolutely. So I will give out the number toward the end of the show. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'll give it out now, and then I'll give it out at the end of the show, too. If you want to call our office, it's 226-3529. You got it.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Go.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Sharon in Middleburg.
Good morning. I want to thank you for your service to our community, and I have three questions about the cash surrender value of a life insurance policy. I received a letter from the insurance company on it was dated February the 15th, but the letter didn't arrive to me till February the 22nd, and about the cash surrender value. And in the letter, the cash surrender value is $720.82. I called on February 25th, and at that point, the cash surrender value was $718.97, so it's still going down. But I asked the person on the phone, how long would it stay at that amount? And she said for 30 days. And she would put the forms in the mail, and this was the 25th of February, but I didn't receive the forms until the 3rd of March, March the 4th. And at that point, the cash surrender value is down to $717. And I told the guy on the phone, said, well, the other lady said that it was going to stop at the 718. But he said it's going to continue to decrease until they receive the form. Well, I put the form in the mail on March the 4th. And I'm wondering, my question is, can the insurance company really decrease the cash surrender value of a life insurance policy daily? And the second question is, what is a reasonable time to wait? I've resubmitted the papers for them to send the cash surrender value, and if they fail to do that in that time, who do I complain to? This company is out of Iowa, even though they're selling insurance in the state of Florida.
The answer depends on the language inside the contract of the insurance policy. And there is maybe a cost involved that could subtract the... Would there be a death benefit if you didn't cash it out?
Yes, but I really just want to surrender the policy.
All right. So just keep good track of all your paperwork, and it sounds like it's only going down a dollar a month or something like that, but just...
And that's normal?
Well, I can't say it's normal because it depends on the policy. And the language inside the policy, which I can't review on the phone here, of course. But I think if you got your paperwork in, then you'll be all right.
All right. So what's the reasonable amount of time to wait? 2 weeks or so?
2 weeks to a month, probably.
Oh, wow. And if
you know what? I would ask him, do you have a computer?
Yes, sir.
Why don't you ask him if you can do this online instead of doing the snail mail paperwork thing. See, ask him if you can go online and do this.
All right. Now,
just print it out, and then you have, then you'll meet all their timelines because you can do it probably in an hour on the computer.
Well, what government agencies would I complain to if I had to take that course?
Well, they have a state insurance regulation agency, I'm sure, in that state.
Iowa?
Yeah, well, probably if that's where the headquarters is and the policy was issued from there, and that's where the company is, yes.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. If you have a legal question, we have about we have 6 or 7 minutes. You could be our last caller. You can call in at 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. If you'd like our free estate planning poster sheet, all you have to do is ask for it. And it's a full-size sheet. On one side has a lot of articles about estate planning, your options, little comparisons of the options. On the other side has all of our office locations, phone numbers, radio shows, website, fee schedule is on the website. You want it, you can get it one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number if you want to call for an appointment or just call for the poster sheet. You have number 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me, Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe. @attypip.com. You can text me for it at 727-667-3967. All right. All right, we have a Nancy. I just talked to a Nancy. Do I have a second Nancy to talk to?
Yes.
All right. What can we do for you? Where are you calling from?
From Sarasota.
Okay. What can we do for you?
Okay, I'm 80 years old, and I have a 50-year-old son who sometimes paid income tax, sometimes didn't. I have no idea how much he owes the IRS. I bought a condo that I'd like to put in his name, and I don't know whether I can, whether the IRS would take it.
The IRS is one agency that can pierce through anything, even homestead protection.
Right.
So, unfortunately, you can escape the IRS if you owe them money. So, I don't think I would give that to him. Is he married?
No. Mm-mm.
Well, you could give it to him upon death, because, I mean, if he loses... How much money does he owe, do you think?
I wish I knew, and I don't know how to go about doing that. I'd like to know how much he owes, because he has paid lots of times, but he doesn't pay his taxes. I know it's taken out, but I just don't know how much he owes.
Well, like, you know, I would have a sit-down conversation with him, and it goes something like this. I would like to leave you my home in my will. I wouldn't give it to him now, of course.
No.
But I think it would be wise of you, so the IRS, I've learned the IRS can take this home if you don't pay your taxes. So what I think you should do while you don't have money is to negotiate with the IRS on some payout plan. Because the taxes can be greatly reduced with you can negotiate with the IRS and work out a little plan where the taxes pretty much go away if you pay them something.
A friend of mine went to a lawyer and they told them they couldn't do anything for him. So I was hoping I could find one that would negotiate somehow.
Well, is it because the attorney didn't know how to do it, or was it because the attorney was an IRS?
I know the father just said, the heck with it then. You know, so I don't want to do that. I want it to be right.
Yeah, well, you can go online and find attorneys that negotiate with the IRS that specialize in it.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right.
Okay, then that's what I'll do. I'll just wait and put it on my desk that he can get it.
Yeah, but you need to encourage him to negotiate to get rid of the tax before he receives a house like that. So.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Let's go to Paul and Brandon.
Hey, Joe. Got a question. My in-laws have a trust made out.
Mm-hmm.
The attorney that we use for the trust is no longer practicing because of some other adventures that he's taken. But do they need to have an attorney, even though, I mean, like on retainer, or will they, because we have a copy of the trust, just wait until the unfortunate of something happening?
Well, you don't have to use the attorney that drafted the trust. And I don't think you have to have an attorney on retainer. For example, if, you know, they came in to see me, I would just make a copy of the trust. And if they wouldn't, there'd be no retainer or anything. And if they wanted to make changes or anything, I could change a trust that another attorney did with an amendment or so forth. And then if they passed away, you could come in to me or some other attorney of your choice, and the attorney can help administer the trust, which is just not much to it, actually, compared to probate, anyway.
Right. So as long as we have a copy of the trust and everything, then we really don't need.
Yeah, you would need to get your hands on the original one day, though. So you need.
Right. Yeah, we have access to the original.
Okay. Yeah.
So. Okay.
Should be fine.
All right. Well, I appreciate everything you do, and thanks for the information.
All right. Thank you. And that call was from Brandon, Florida. Our closest office to Brandon is Sun City Center, which is about 20 minutes down 75 there. All right, you've been listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to stay tuned for the real estate. If you're in Jacksonville now, you're going to listen to the best real estate show on the airways here in Jacksonville, so you stay tuned for that. Everyone else, so long. If you want to call our office again, 1-800-226-3529. You have a great weekend. So long.